I didn't get to finish. And I want to be a good Christian, but I have to tell you, if we start food, you know, at our table, we were told, what do you do with the plate? Thank you very much.
Or you don't get dessert.
That's right. Or you don't get dessert. That you're not even going to almost get dessert. Can we just say to each other, look at somebody right now and say good morning.
Good morning.
My goodness, it is a good morning. I got out of the car and I could smell meat cooking. You know, COVID kind of messes you up a little bit because there was a season where, like, you know, you couldn't get to church and all these things happening. And so I got used to thinking that about the time of worship going on, I'm in my house, I might as well be grilling or doing something. So I kept cooking during worship, right? So when I finally saw our worship leader, I went over and sniffed him because I thought, man, you smell like bacon. Because just that's what I was used to. We were always connecting over bacon. Anyway, I don't know where these little muffin things came from. Yeah, this is serious. We'll be digging into the Word today. That's the real food, huh?
Yeah.
We'll be in God's Word today. So there's going to be moments that while we're trying to digest that, I'll get another bite. So many pieces came together as I began to think about this at the table question. How do we around the table do life? And so much of life happens around the table. So it is quite fitting. And boy, I'm glad I came on the right Sunday because those eggs are banging. They're really good. John chapter 13, please, with your copy of God's Word, please follow along. You'll be able to follow along with me. We're going to God's Word, and when we do, we're going to truly dig out, walk through, pull out what the Lord has for us in His Word, piece by piece today. Heavenly Father, we just come to You in Jesus' name, thankful for an opportunity to open God's Word together. And Lord, Your Word says that if we are at fault with each other, don't do anything, don't even eat together. So here we are eating together as a signal, sign, a significant moment to say, we're together. Help us, Lord, around the table to see what You did and to do likewise. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 13, we're going to pick up in the second verse of John chapter 13, because we're following this conversation about this table time. It says, it was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas. Pause. Just as a note, we can never think that Satan doesn't show up at opportune moments. So throughout the New Testament, we see the devil showing up at meal times where Jesus was, every kind of set in church when they're getting together to worship. So even if in this moment you're finding a little turbulence right now, don't be surprised, because everybody thinks they should be at the table. The devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given Him authority over everything. Are there moments when you just know that you got it? The other day I'm going home, and I love cars. We've had a lot of fun with cars. Gina lets me have. Hi, I didn't introduce her. My wife Gina is here. Please welcome Gina. We just celebrated 38 years together. And I got to tell you, when you get married at like 4 years old and then... Gina let me have my own car. And so I'm in my car and I'm at the stoplight and it's late at night and I'm coming home. And what I don't realize is happening in my town is all the kids are out with their cars showing off. So, you know, I know how to drive. I've owned a lot of cars. I know how to drive. And so all of a sudden, all these fast cars are zipping around me, and we get to the stoplight, and they stop. And I reach down, and I press the speed button, you know, like I get this little extra nitro button in my car. I'm like, I got to teach this guy a lesson. Even if it's just for 20 miles, I got to teach him a lesson. So I'm only going to go 20 miles an hour, but if I can just beat him off the line, just beat him, I can just let him know that I know what time it is. I got some authority. I'm over this thing. This is my road, brother. You weren't even born when this road came along. I know what's going on here. So I look him in the, I lean forward, I roll my window down and give him the chin nod. He knew it was on, right? He knew it was on. So I'm ready, I'm waiting. The guy doesn't even wait till the light turns green. He has gone already. And I mean, I saw his tail lights way down there. When you have real authority over something, what happens is you change how you operate. So I love what happens in this passage, because in verse 3 it says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So what he does next is he got up from the table, took off his robe, and wrapped a towel around his waist. We have nothing in our culture that is exactly like that. But if you went out to dinner this afternoon, and at some point, somebody in your group, in your party, gets up from the table, takes off their sport coat, and puts on a apron, you're getting a picture that's different. So Jesus, in this moment, he is laying out a very different picture. He signals to them, we're going to do something a little different. So it says, he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin, and pause. Remember now, you're in Jerusalem, you're in this area, you're in this Middle Eastern area, you're in this hot, arid community, you're in a place that people wore open-toed shoes, where their little stinky toes were walking through the dust all day long. And so it would have been appropriate, as if you're going into a teenager's room, to do something about this. So the normal thing would be someone provides water for the washing of your feet so we can enjoy the meal. Here they are, sitting at the table. Suddenly, Jesus signals to them that I'm going to be that person. So as he begins to do this, it says, he does the double dip, because it says he not only washes the disciples' feet, but he dries them with a towel he had around him. So Jesus is taking his apron of sorts and drying their feet. I hope that you have a friend that lasts for a long time. Gina and I have had a little more than 40 years of relationship. I don't know that Gina has ever touched my feet. I want to clarify this because, you know, we're riding in the car together, and I don't let her look at the notes ahead of time, because we got to get into this a little bit. Now, if you ask her personally why she doesn't touch my feet, she's going to say too much. But feet are dirty, stinky, and smelly, meant to be covered up, or somebody else, or at the best, if someone was going to wash your feet, they're going to just put some water over it. It says Jesus not only washed feet, but dried them. This is a humiliating, complex moment. I just want you to imagine that you invite Gina and I, or your new pastor over, Pastor, they should be inviting you over, right? So just to clarify, you invite your pastor over to the house, but here's what you don't expect. He is not going to get up in the middle of the meal and start clearing dishes. That's not how it goes. Now, at my mother-in-law's house, it was different. You come to her house, we're not talking about that. Stay on point. Basically, when you go to people's house, You're not expected also that they're serving you. You don't serve them. Jesus begins to serve. Now, as this is happening, I just need you to understand that it's Jesus. And in this relationship, your thought, my thought is not, let's correct Jesus. I mean, for most people anyway, we're going to go deeper in the passage, but for most people, the thought is not, let's correct Jesus. In fact, what they're doing is, Jesus has now put the robe on, he's got the basin and towel, and he's asking for your foot, because he's going to wash it. We don't know who the first disciple was. I'm sure when we get to heaven, we can talk about this, but it wasn't Peter, because Peter is still talking about this situation and saying, why did the first guy not say what I said? The first guy didn't know what to do. Jesus says, foot please, foot up. Now Jesus is washing feet and people are starting to mumble. They're looking, they're giving each other the eye. But in the meantime, he washes and then he dries, then he washes and he dries, asks for the next person, asks for the next person. We don't actually know how far down the line Peter is, but peppermint sock Peter, foot in his mouth all the time, he's already getting angry about this. He's getting frustrated. Doesn't anybody see what's happening? And by verse 6 it says, when Jesus came to Simon Peter, that is to say, he didn't, remember now, if you're in verse 5, it says he's doing it, but he hadn't got to him yet. In verse 6 it says, when he gets to Simon Peter, Peter says to him, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? I mean, obviously it's apparent what Jesus is doing. Of course he's going to wash your feet. Really what he's trying to do is give Jesus an out moment. Jesus, what you need in this moment is just a little bit of an out, because you're a little over the top. Jesus, did you take your medicine today? Because I don't know. This is not right. Does anybody here think this is right? This is not right. And it's in this kind of setting that he says to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? It's a little rhetorical. He's not really looking for an answer here. Jesus replies to it and says, you don't understand. You don't understand. When I first went to my mother-in-law's house, I remember we would go there and she would be cooking away like crazy. And you had to understand where you were. That her love language to you was to give. It was incredible hospitality. And at first you thought, you know, you would say dumb things like, Mom, let me take care of that for you. Are you kidding me? First of all, you can't cook. So then what you also realize is when everybody's eating, what is Mom doing? Is she eating? No, because there was such enjoyment. Actually, the answer is you actually don't know where you are. And because when the guests come, they go, isn't she going to eat? You don't understand. She didn't come here to eat. She came here to serve you. Jesus is moving through this moment, and he says to him in verse 7, you don't understand what I'm doing. Someday you will. Have you said that to somebody in your life? You don't get it right now. You'll get it later on. That's what's happening. He says, Jesus, no. Now, you know, I love Peter because he is so much like us. You, not me, you. I've never opened my mouth at the wrong time. Please, no lightning right now. It's just such a funny moment where he just thinks that he's going to tell the creator of the universe, the God Almighty, what he should do. And he says, you shouldn't do this. And even as I try to unpack it in my own mind, here's what I see. My king is superior. He's not a servant. Kind of this moment where you realize maybe Peter is not even being humble or holy. He's being practical. I mean, after all, this is the God of the universe. He's supposed to come and take charge. You can't take charge with an apron on. So haven't you ever had that moment where you're with somebody and they embarrass you doing something that's so practical? You go to the restaurant and grandma is collecting the salt packets and you want to stop her. But she remembers the day we couldn't afford salt packets and we paid for these. They're going home. You thought you were at the restaurant where you didn't bring everything home with you. You thought it was you leave what's on the table. There's food on the table. We're taking that food. We paid for it. And you have just a tinge of embarrassment because they're doing something that makes you uncomfortable. And so their action is not even about them. It becomes about you and how you feel and who might see you in this thing happening. So Peter says to him, no, you're never going to wash my feet. Let me clarify this to you, God. Never are you going to wash my feet. It's interesting. You got to read this stuff in the Greek because you see these double negatives, these words like, he's like, no. You're not going to do that, God. Jesus replies to him, unless I wash you, you're not mine. Sometimes when we go in Walmart, and this happens in other stores, I'm sure, but Walmart is like really known in Walmart. And you see some child acting up in Walmart, and I used to get nervous. When I went to Walmart with my mom, we'd be in the store, and some child or situation's going on, child's acting up. My mother wants to go correct that child. I said, Mom, that one's not yours. I feel bad for those people that didn't understand that they have their kids and their little kids to go wild. My mother was around. She will spank your child right there. She's going to try to correct. I'm like, Mom, that's not your child. You can't do that. Jesus says, at the table, Peter, if you don't let me walk through this moment with you, you don't belong to me. These are difficult words to hear. When people move into that moment that says, I disown you, these are difficult words to hear. And somehow in the language that Jesus is using, it brings the reality of the conversation back into alignment. Up to this moment, it's just, Jesus, you're doing something that's embarrassing. Put the salt back on the table. It's just an embarrassment moment. But really what happens is in this moment now, we move to another level. Because Jesus changed the temper of the conversation and said, I will disown you over this. Peter rethinks. Have you ever had a moment to rethink? I love the rethink. This is a moment when you think, am I saying the right thing right now? Is the right thing coming out of my mouth? I do this at nighttime. I'm really good in the morning, not so good at night. And then I have to think a lot longer before I speak because I might have to take it back. Peter rethinks. In fact, verse 9 says, he exclaims. He not just rethinks it, he's now yelling it. Lord, look, I'm yours. Wash all of me, God. Here you go. Do my hands, my feet, my head as well. And Jesus, in verse 10, replies to him about symbols. You got to understand what symbols are. I wear a symbol. This is a ring. It's not my marriage. It's a symbol that I'm married. I don't look at my ring and go, I love you. No. This is an outward sign of an inward decision. So the symbols are like that. After we got married, we had this moment where, I don't know how this all happened, but anyway, I ended up, Gina ran me over with a car, okay? I'm trying to say delicately come away to say this. This got to get the story out. Because what happens after that is I break my finger in this long night, and it scares me because the finger's just laying across the other finger. So I grab it, and I push it back into place. Never done that. Don't do that. I don't know what happened. It was just like a reflex. I pushed it back into place, and afterwards, it swelled up so much that by the time the 2 days went by and I decided to go to the doctor, the doctor said, well, do you want to go to a jeweler or do you want me to do it here? I'm like, do what? He said, we got to cut your ring off. You got to cut my, I mean, we hadn't been married that long. And I'm thinking, you're going to cut my ring off? He said, or cut your finger off. So what, we got to make a decision quick. So we cut the ring. And he actually never did anything to the finger. He said, you're going to get old and be sorry that this day happened. And he's right. Anyway, when we went to a jeweler. We didn't go to where we bought the ring. We just went to a jeweler, and they put the ring back together. And when they put the ring back together, I just wanted to put the ring back together. So that's what I asked. Can you put it back together? They put the ring back together, and then it broke again. So now I'm like, man, my marriage is gone. The ring, it just broke. One day, boop, I heard pop, and it broke. So we went back to the jeweler. He put it back together again. It broke again. I'm like, man, she ran me over with a car. Now I'm done. So we went back to the original jeweler where we bought the ring from originally. And this is what he said. He said, oh, he said, you don't understand. When you have a break like that in metal, the only way to put it back together is to put a third metal in there. And it's got to be a more valuable, stronger metal. He said, we'll put gold in there. And he said, we will forge it together. It will be bound together. And he said, when you do that, he said, it'll be so strong, it'll never break again. And you'll never know where it happened at. He's absolutely right. It's only a symbol. But I have to tell you, even as I tell you that story, you'll remember it. There's a value in symbols. So Jesus is using symbols now with his disciples, and he says to them in verse 10, a person who is bathed all over does not need to be washed except for his feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean. Pause. So he's trying to tell them, hey, listen, in a minute I'm going to explain this, but really, what you have to understand is I'm not trying to put ivory soap all over you. All I'm trying to do is show you something that you need to understand. And if you've been washing, you don't need washing all over the place. And then he says, you're clean, but not all of you. This must have been a very confusing conversation, because when I read this, I'm confused. Because then he says, Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, not all of you. So I'm wondering, were they sitting there and Jesus says, hey, listen, because Peter's like, Lord, 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 clean me, go. And Jesus said, no, you've been washing. I just need to wash your feet for what we're doing right now. And you're clean, but not all of you. Not all of me? Not all of me? Yeah, he was talking about what he's talking about at the beginning of the passage when he says, yeah, evil is in the midst right now, and we're about to go into something. So he gives them a lean into this. And then he goes on in verse 12 and he says, after washing their feet. Again, I don't imagine that Peter was the last person in the room. So they had this dialogue with Peter, and then it continues on. You know, more is going on as he continues to go around the room washing their feet. It says, he put his robe on again and he sat down at the table. And so in this ceremonial moment, Jesus says, do you understand what I did? You know what I'm doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. Now, this is important in a teacher-apprentice approach. That's what Jesus was doing with them, this master-apprentice approach. The answer was always that you're following the master in everything. Later, Peter sees Jesus on the water, and everyone's afraid, and he goes, if it's you, pause, if my master's out there, I can go too. Christians, this is a great call for us to say, look, Jesus is trying to help you understand something. Masters and teachers and apprentices, they're supposed to run together. If Jesus is out there doing something, get ready. You ought to be able to do that thing. thinking about teaching our children how to drive car. And I remember, we got this moment where we're going to teach our daughters how to drive car, and Gina says to me, it's on you. Go ahead. And we get out there, we're on the road, and our daughter's there, and it starts to snow before we get into the car. We were living out on the East Coast, and I mean, it's snowing. And she says to me, our daughter says, so Dad, we're not going to learn today, right? We're going to do another day. I said, well, only if you're going to drive the car on good weather days. It snows a lot out here, so you're going to have to drive. So we got first day out, we're out. I said, you got to learn how not to do all that. I said, keep the car straight. Yeah, because why? And why? And with confidence, I can tell her this. Why? Because I'm the master. It's my car. We're coming home, okay? So I can say it with confidence. There is a picture that Jesus is laying out about being the master and them being the apprentice. So he says to them, you call me teacher and Lord. You acknowledge the fact that I'm greater, and rightfully so. And then he says, since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, I, who is greater than you, have served you. You got to serve each other. That's worth taking a bite. You know, I appreciate you. I'm good. There's enough caffeine in this body already. But thank you. When I was really little and we would go to the table and we'd go out to eat, my sisters thought it was their job to, like, run my life. And so what would happen is we're at a table at somewhere nice and there's all the silverware would be out there, the spoon, the fork, and the knife. But I was little, and so they were worried that I was going to do something dangerous. And so quietly, when we get to the table, my sister would just pull the knife off the table. I couldn't really talk well, so I just said, I couldn't get the words knife and life. I got them confused, so I was like, give me back my life. Give me back my life. Jesus says, what you ought to do right now is what I just did. I'm showing you what life is like. And maybe we get confused in a world that says, be greater than somebody else. What you have to do is get to the top, crush them if you have to, be the best. In verse 15, it goes on, and Jesus now teaches you how to lead. He goes, I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is a messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now you know these things. God will bless you if you do them. I suppose it's possible to enjoy life without caring for other people. On the way over here, you know, don't trust GPS. I'm riding, putting in my GPS, and all of a sudden, I'm realizing I've been here before, so I kind of know the way, and I'm like, the GPS is not looking like it is doing the right thing, right? And so somebody behind me has got, they are, their lights are in my grill, their grill is in my bumper way too close. And here's what I'm thinking. They're probably going to church, too. If it was you, I forgive you. I pulled over. I was like, I gotta think and I gotta get out of the way. And I said, it's not gonna serve us well if I brake test them right now. What I really need to do is care for them, and they're in a rush, so why am I in their way? I don't know where I'm going. I'm trying to get out of the way. If I had rolled the window down, I would smell the meat and I'd have been okay, but I had to figure that out, so I pulled over to get out of their way. But not be mad at them. Care for them too. Are you ready to serve other people? People that are running you off the road on the way to church? You ready to serve those people? And what about how about this? What about the people that just see the world differently than you and I do? I mean, come on, we got enlightened, we got Jesus, right? Obviously, we started off this way. We got it all together. What happens when we just come to a place of recognizing, you know what? God does not put qualifications on those we ought to serve. We ought to serve each other. The one qualification that you can find is that people should know that we're Christians by the way Christians care for each other. So there ought to be something in the body of Christ that says, you know how to care for Christians. You know, I ride motorcycle. I've owned 6 bikes. When I see a biker who's on the side of the road, it doesn't matter to me what kind of bike they have, if they have the kind of bike that I have or the wrong bike. It doesn't matter. I can care for them. Sometimes it's really nice when you're a biker, but you don't look like a biker. So I don't have my biker boots on. I don't look right. I don't have my biker jacket on, but I'm a biker. So you get in the elevator with another biker. I'm in the elevator with a biker, and I'm just there. I know he's a biker. I got you, boy. I got you. And so in that moment, I'm all set to, like, have biker lingo with him, but he's looking at me, and he's like, there's nothing over here. He's thinking, he's not realizing, hey, I'm with you, man. So in a moment, I say something to him, and suddenly he knows we're family. We got the connection. Are you helping other brothers and sisters in Christ know you got the connection? If we were just a gang, we'd have a gang sign. We could throw it down, you know, so you could know. What's our gang sign as believers? At the table, our gang sign is that we love each other. When the brother said to me, you're eating something that looks a little dry, you might need something to go down, I'm like, that's my brother. I love that. That's the right answer. I'm still good. That's the right answer. Because if we really care for each other, we've got to recognize that the other is us too. The other is us too. Do not overlook simple things. We think holding a door for somebody, offering somebody a seat, just a smile. How about greeting a stranger? We think those things are little. They are not little in the world that you and I live in. Turn on your TV and look. People are harming each other over nothing. What happens when the believer in Christ says, I actually can do something different? A few closing thoughts. At the table, Jesus serves. At the table, Jesus serves. And I love that picture. That just reminds me, how am I supposed to be? I need to serve. At the table, Jesus sanctifies. The water is great because what it does, it cleans up things. Sometimes we get to the table with our brothers and sisters, and there's something that's happening we're holding the odd against. And you know what we got to do? Let it go. Just got to let it go. Okay, why don't we just say it together? 1, 2, 3, let it go. 1, 2, 3.
Let it go.
Let it go. But, nope, let it go. At the table, Jesus says, and I love this thing he says. He says, you know what? What I do, you do. So be like me. That's what he says. He says, hey, monkey see, monkey do. Jesus says, you ought to be able to, you can do this because I've done it. I keep looking. No nails in my hands. Christ died and rose again for this sinner. So therefore, if the master says to do it, I can do it. You can do it. Are you willing to follow Jesus? My father-in-law is in heaven now, but I learned to love him for lots of reasons. One was he just had good habits. And one of them was he loved to read the newspaper. And I don't know that I ever been really a great reader, but it was fun. I remember this day when we were all there and he picked up this newspaper and he started reading. And I was like, what should I be doing right now? You know what? If Dad's doing it, you ought to do it. Pick up that newspaper and read it. I wonder, are you ready to follow Christ in that kind of a way? Final thought. At the table, we learn that serving Jesus is done by serving others. I want to be a better Christian. What should I be doing? Be like Jesus. What did he do? He served others. If Jesus was here in the flesh, actually, deep thought, believer, you're here, the Holy Spirit's residing in you, God is all over the place in this place. So what happened? I get out of my car and I smell meat. I'm 20 minutes late and the pastor doesn't yell at me. Just says, come on, Greg, let's go on in. But are you hungry? Because maybe you want to get some food before we go in. And we wrestle with that moment. I come in, and now I've been driving a long way. I got to go to the bathroom. And so I stop somebody, and they're like, Greg, it's great to see you again. And they're like, hey, the bathroom's that way. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I get to the bathroom, and ladies, just clarity, men don't talk in the bathroom, okay? But I had a lot of conversations this morning in the bathroom because, you know, you go in wearing the headset and I'm praying that the guys in the sound booth are not trying to play a joke on me. Because they said, don't worry about a thing. And I'm like, is everybody back there okay? Do they know? Because I'm in the bathroom. And I end up in several conversations going in the bathroom. We had to break the rule, the men's rule, because men, we talk to each other. And then I came out of the bathroom and I'm like, you know what? There's still food outside. I can get it. So I race outside to get my food, and somebody ate the last meat thing, but I found the eggs with cheese, and the person serving me didn't look at me like, hey, you're late, and everything's cleaned up, which it was. They said, we'd be glad for you to have it. And I came back inside, and somebody else saw me and said, oh, I don't know your name, but I remember your face. It's good to see you. And they hugged me. And then they said, eat. So I did. I suppose maybe if this is your church and you're here all the time, this seems like such a simple, normal thing to you, but can I encourage you? It's the little things of living out our faith that prove that we have a faith. Let's be like Jesus and serve and love those around us like Christ has loved us. Pastor, please come. We're going to close the service out. I'd ask Pastor if he would just give us some closing thoughts before we finish. But today, body of Christ, thank you for being around the table together.
Thank you, Greg. That was amazing. Yeah, I was sitting here listening to his message today. The one thing that came to my mind was this story in the Gospels. Oftentimes we forget about how uncomfortable it was. That's feet. And I think that one of the things that we oftentimes in Americanized Christianity forget, because we've romanticized our faith so much, is that what Jesus calls us to can be very uncomfortable, like washing feet. And I don't want to take away from anything that happened today or anything that was said today, but one of the things that I learned, especially in serving other people, is that oftentimes Jesus calls us to do something that we're not really comfortable with. One of the things that we would often say to missions teams as they came over is we want you to be 100% safe. We're going to do everything we can do to make sure that you're safe, but we want you to be about 50% comfortable. And I often got the weirdest looks from that. Why? It's because when you are uncomfortable is oftentimes where Jesus grows you the most. And so in light of what was said today and washing feet today and serving others today, my challenge to you as Commonway Church as we start this new chapter together, what is the uncomfortable thing that God has been calling you to do or is calling you to do right now to make a difference in the lives of others? Don't push away from that. Don't push back on that. Don't assume someone else is going to do that. Jesus wants you to lean into the uncomfortable foot washing experience called serving others. And he will change other people's lives because of that, and he'll change your life because of it as well. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? Father, I thank you for this incredible message today. And I pray that you continue to use our brother at Taylor University. Bless him, use him, grow him as he has challenged us today with those college students at Taylor University as well. But God, I pray that we look at what we have seen and heard today, that this uncomfortable, the Savior of the world, 100% divine, 100% human, washing people's feet. And later laid down his life on a cross into the most uncomfortable, brutal thing as all. He gave his life for us. Jesus, I pray that we as followers of yours will follow you just like you did in the Gospels. God, I pray that you bring to our remembrance right now, Lord, something that is maybe a bit uncomfortable that you've been whispering us to do. And I pray, Father, that we have the courage and the anointing to do it. Father, lead us in the ways to do that in our family, when it comes to race relations, when it comes to someone that doesn't look like us, act like us, when it comes to someone that's at a different level of us. That's how we do things in our culture, unfortunately. But God, may we just reach across aisles, reach across boundaries, Lord, just to make a difference in the lives of others. And in doing so, represent you really well, honor you really well. Challenge us this day, I pray, Father. And again, we pray this in your name. And if you agree with me, say that last word. Amen. Commonway Church, thank you for being here again today. We will do this again next week, part 3 of Around the Table. Have a great day.